We thank you for visiting Christian Bible Temple and pray the following message speaks to your heart.
As we finish just about the section we were covering last week, the second verse of chapter 1 of Genesis, I told you that there were other passages that associated the Spirit as the creating cause of all kinds of life. So before I go on to the next verse, I would like to just for you to open with me to a few verses this morning. And we'll start with the book of Job, chapter 26. Keep in mind that theologians believe that the book of Job was written about the same time the book of Genesis was written. So it's contemporary as far as the writing is concerned, though the events of Genesis are much older. Now, in Job 26, if you go with me to verse 13, and we're talking about the Holy Spirit here and his work. His work of creation. Look what it says in verse 13, towards the end of the chapter. It says, by his spirit, that is God's spirit, by his spirit, he adorned the heavens. His hand pierced the fleeing serpent. Look at the next chapter, 27, verse 3. As long as my breath is in me, and the breath of God in my nostrils, my lips will not speak wickedness. Now, in the first verse we read, that's talking about in a poetic way, it's talking about the Spirit adorning the heavens. In other words, giving them life, as we saw, we're going to see, as we saw in verse 2. In chapter 27, he's talking about the Spirit giving life, okay? As long as my breath is in me and the breath of God in my nostrils, that's the Holy Spirit. Okay? Go with me now to Psalm 33. That's the next book after Job is Psalms. Psalm 33, and go to verse 6. This is a very revealing verse of Scripture. It says, by the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. That's the Holy Spirit. Okay? The breath of his mouth. That's the power of God's word. Okay? Also in Psalms, now Psalm 104. Go to verse 30. It says, you send forth your spirit. They are created. And you renew the face of the earth. You send forth your spirit. They are created. Going to see as we study the first chapter of Genesis how God creates everything by the word of his mouth. Okay? And look at again in the book of Psalms, Psalm 143 and verse 10. Psalm 143:10. It says, teach me to do your will. For you are my God. Your spirit is good. Lead me in the land of uprightness. What does the Holy Spirit do? Guide us. He guides us. The Lord said that he will lead you into all truth when he comes. Now let's go to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah is just 2-3 books after Psalms. In Isaiah 34 and in verse 16, It says, search from the book of the Lord and read. None of these shall fail, not one shall lack her mate. For my mouth has commanded it, and his spirit has generated them. The word generated means given life. So life comes through the Holy Spirit, is the giver of life. Again in the book of Isaiah, and this probably is a better known verse, because the Lord quotes it in the New Testament, Isaiah 61, and in verse 1, this is a messianic verse. It says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. And if you have a Bible like I do, me is with a capital M. And what does that mean? Who's the me? Huh? God who? Right? The Son. Because the Lord took these verses, chapter 61, verse 1, and the beginning of verse 2, and that's what he read when he was in the synagogue in Nazareth. He opened the roll, the scroll of Isaiah, and he read those, and he quoted this, and he said to the congregation, the synagogue there, he said, these words are fulfilled before your eyes today. So he appropriated those words to him because they speak about him. The Spirit of the Lord God. Say, there you have the Holy Spirit. You have God the Father. And you have me, God the Son. So who told you the Trinity is not in the Bible? Like those Unitarians who claim that God is only one person. No, God is three persons. There's only one God, but it's three persons. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Right? And so here we see, because the Lord has anointed me, and that's what the word Christ means. He is the anointed of the Father. That's what the word Mashiach means. Mashiach is in Hebrew. Christos is in Greek. Both are the same word. So when we say Christ in English or Cristo in Spanish, we are transliterating the Greek word Christos, which means the anointed one. See, Christos is not a name. It's a title. He is the anointed of the Father. The Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And that's where the Lord stopped, at the comma. So that comma is worth 2,000 years, because the second part of the verse has not been fulfilled yet. So don't ever get the idea that the Old Testament is antiquated. It is not. It's future dated, because there are so many things in the Old Testament that have not been fulfilled as of yet. Okay? Only the ignorant would say something like that. So we see one more verse in Isaiah, and now go to 63, two chapters after this one. And in Isaiah 63, verse 11, it says, then he remembered the days of old, Moses and his people, saying, where is he who brought them up out of the sea, with the shepherd of his flock? Where is he who put his Holy Spirit within them? Okay? So, in regards to the Son, also now, all things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. John 1:3. Okay? We're told the same truths in Ephesians and Colossians and in Hebrews, telling us that it is the Son who created everything. God created everything through the Son and by the Holy Spirit. Okay, so all three persons of the Trinity are at work in the work of creation, and all persons of the Trinity are at work in the work of redemption. Amen? All right, now let's go to the next verse, verse 3. 3 through 5. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw the light that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day. Now, I want to tell you right off that the days of creation are literal days. They are not ages. They are not epochs. They are not millions and gazillions of years, okay, like these atheistic scientists and evolutionists want to make us believe. The Word of God is, when it says days, okay, it is a literal day, not long, indefinite geological ages. Now, these are based, these geological ages, you know, thousands and millions of years, are based on suppositions which contradict the Genesis account. If these had been ages, the writer of Genesis would have used other terms than the word yom. In Hebrew, yom means day, just like in our language. Okay? Golden rule of interpretation. When you study the Bible, remember this. When the common sense of Scripture, of the text, makes sense, seek no other sense. When you try to do that, you get in trouble. And that's what the Bible means when they, people who twist the Scriptures to their own destruction. Do you know what this evolution system is based on? It's based on unbelief. They do not accept what God says at face value. So they try to invent and explain away what he says. And they do not succeed in doing that because they get more and more confused. Okay? Science may try to tell you what and sometimes when, but science can never tell you why. Only God can tell you why. And besides, who was there present when everything was being created other than God? So who are you going to believe, the one who was there or these morons who came millions of years later? Okay? So remember, that is the golden rule. When you read the Word of God, everything, you take it at face value, and if it makes sense, seek no other sense. If something doesn't make sense, then you need to understand, okay, why. But when that happens, we are told, and there are explanations given. Otherwise, take things literally, at face value, the way God tells them. God doesn't say one thing and mean another. Okay, so even though the earth had been created without form and everything was in darkness, God had a purpose for it. The Holy Spirit of God gave motion and gave form to the elements created. Remember, the Lord created three things: time, space, and matter. In the beginning, time. God created the heavens, space, and the earth, matter. And then he took those three things and fashioned them to what they are, or they were before the flood, and now they are what they are now. Okay? So, the Holy Spirit of God gave motion and form to the elements created, and also he would give light and energy to dispel the darkness, because he tells us that everything was at the beginning was dark. And we explained there's nothing wrong with the darkness that God created. It existed there. It was there. That doesn't mean evil, okay? But he created light to separate one from the other. Now, in Hebrews chapter 11, and we studied the book of Hebrews, chapter 1, and we studied it not too long ago when we did the book of Hebrews. He tells us in verse 3 something very revealing, which says, who being the brightness of his glory, talking about the sun, he is the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, the person of the Father, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, he died on the cross to purge us, to cleanse us from our sin, to wipe out our sin, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Creation was from the Father through the Son. Okay, as we said before, we read John 1:3. Here we have the first instance of God speaking in the Bible. The first time God speaks in the Bible is in chapter 1, verse 3 of Genesis. Then God said, okay, let there be light. And what does the Bible say? Simply it says this, and there was light. Why take something so simple and complicated? Especially when our understanding is so finite. The all-knowing God just chose to give us that, not more. God doesn't give us all the specifics and the intricate details of everything he does. Okay? God gives us what he deems necessary for us to know. Because the Bible is not a book about science, even though it does have science in it. The Bible is the book about redemption, about salvation. Okay? And as we study the book of Genesis, you're going to see that the first 11 chapters, 2,000 years of history, he goes right through them to reach to chapter 12, because that's the important thing. Okay? So here we see that the Word of God brings light. And there it says, and there was light. The Hebrew word is an imperative, and it really means, and there became light. Light became to be. Okay? Or came to be. The Father is the origin of all things. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He is the beginning of all things. And he is the end of all things. In the last book of the Bible, the Revelation, what does the Lord Jesus Christ say? I am Alpha and what? Omega. The beginning and the ending, the first and the last. Okay? So, the Father is the origin of all things. The Spirit is the energizer of all things. Remember last week we talked about the Spirit of God was upon the face of the deep and what? Removed. The Hebrew word ruach, which means vibrated or trembled, giving what? Energy to the universe. Okay? So the Father is the origin of all things. The Spirit is the energizer of all things. And the Word, or the Son, S-O-N, okay, is the revealer of all things. All things were made by him, and without him, not a thing was made of all that was made. Okay? So, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we are told in verse 6, for it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness. That's going back to Genesis 1:1, isn't it? Who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So the same Holy Spirit that gave light, I mean the same God who gave light and energized us, energized the creation, energizes us, shines in our hearts. When we get saved, he shines in our hearts, brings light into our hearts, okay, of the knowledge of the glory, his glory, in the face of Jesus Christ. God created light to reveal the universe, because it was dark at first. And that's how he also gives us light to reveal his Son and his work of salvation. So therefore here, in him, there is no darkness at all. We're told that in 1 John 1:5, In him was light, and in him there is no darkness at all. There is no darkness at all in God. Everything is light. That's why Jesus says, I am the light of the world. In John 8:12. I am the light of the world. When you come to the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, he enlightens your heart, your mind, your spirit, quickens your spirit, vivifies your spirit, and then you begin to understand who the Lord is, what he did, what he does, what he will do. While the word, the world is in total darkness. We live in a dark world, don't we? And the Lord commands us to shine as lights in this world, this dark world. Because why? This world lies under the power of the wicked one. But the Lord is picking out people, shedding his light on them. Those who receive it, their eyes are open, and they come to a saving knowledge of him, become part of his family. Those who reject it become or continue being children of darkness. As I said before, the word yom in the Hebrew means day, and it means also it depicting light. Now the word for light is different, is the word or in Hebrew, but day is yom, which is the essential requisite for life and existence. God divided light from darkness and thus completes the first day of creation. God caused light and darkness to operate separately, one from the other, in time. That's why the Hebrew word means to cause division. God divided the light from the darkness. Okay? Evening and the morning were the first day. Now, this formula is literal and is used for each day of creation. So as you read the first chapter of Genesis, you're going to see that phrase time and again. And the evening and the morning were the what? The first day. That's why even to this day, Jewish people, the day for Jewish people begins in the evening, not in the morning. Because what came first? Evening or morning? What? No, evening. Think. And the evening and the morning. So what came first? Evening or morning? Evening. That's why they go home at sundown when they have a holiday, because the holiday begins in the evening, not in the morning. Right? And right now, are we in the morning or in the evening? No, we're not. We're in the evening. Some of you need to read your Bible. We're in the evening. Why are we in the evening? In a way, because this world is in utter darkness. Now, I know the Lord said, I must work while the day, it is the day, the night comes when no man can work. But he's talking about the time he has on earth to do his work that he needed to do. Okay? But as far as the whole time span of God's plan, this is still the evening, because this is the time of the Gentiles. This is not the time of the kingdom yet, literally. The kingdom is within us right now, in every believer, but it's not going to be manifested outwardly until the day that Jesus comes back to establish his kingdom on earth. And that is what we call the millennium, and that day. Right now, we're living in times of darkness, don't we? If this were God's day, people would not be walking in darkness. There would not be sin around. Evil, killing, wars, greed, corruption, both political and moral. It's a disgrace what is going on in this world. Not just in our country, everywhere. And it's going to get worse. So remember that. Don't be a silly optimist. Oh, no, because we have Jesus, everything is fine. No, I found out 48 years ago, as a matter of fact, this week is going to be 48 years that I got saved. I found out when I got saved, things did not get better. They got worse. Because the devil began to work on me. Because he hated that I accepted Christ. Because as long as you're lost, it doesn't bother him. Because he's got you in his grip. But as soon as you accept Jesus as your Savior and your lives and your heart are enlightened, boy, you become his enemy. He'll lie about you and attack you and throw lies your way, temptations and what have you. Because now you're his enemy. All right? So, let's go on. And that's why it says that this formula is the evening and the morning. God performed his work during the day, not during the night. And from now on, we shall see periods of light and periods of darkness. And this cycle course, this cyclic course, allows us to understand that the earth rotated on its axis. Okay? Now, these are literal days of 24 or 12 hours. And they're all yom, meaning literal days. It never means period or era. It's day. Besides, light represents not only the beginning of the new creation, but also the first day of the week. So today is what? What day of the week is it today? Don't say Sunday. What day is it? First day. This is the first day of the week. Some people think Monday is the first day of the week. No, Sunday is the first day of the week. Okay? And Saturday is the seventh day of the week. Right? Now, The world was created on the first day of the week, very early. In the same day, the first day of the week, guess what happened? Christ resurrected from the dead. He was crucified, most likely on Friday evening or Friday morning. He died Friday evening, was buried, and he spent Shabbat in the grave resting. And very early, at 12 o'clock, the first day of the week, boom, he resurrected from the dead. He fulfilled the law. And that's why we worship on Sunday, because it is the Lord's day. Now, Sunday doesn't tell you much, does it? The word Sunday, it's a pagan word. Thanks to the English language, all the days of the week are pagan. Just like the names of the planets are pagan gods. All these wonderful scientists we have to thank for these things. But in Greek, Sunday is not the day of the sun. It's the day of the sun. Not S-U-N, but S-O-N. And the Greek word is Kyriaki. And if you come from a Spanish background, of course you know that it's Domingo, which means Domenico, Dominus. You great Roman Catholic woman, Rosalina, what does Dominus mean? Huh? No. Dominus means what? Lord in Latin. So it's the Lord's Day. Dominus, and you all who come from the Dominican Republic, and the capital of your country is Santo Domingo, what is the part that you don't understand? All right, you got the name of the Lord twice in your country. Unfortunately, just in name, not in deed. But don't worry about it, and it's not the only country. Every country is like that. Some of them are even worse. Okay, but Dominus in Latin means Lord, and in Greek, Kyrios. So we say Kyriaki, meaning the Lord's Day. And then we say Deftera for Monday. You know what Deftera means? Second day. Triti, third day. Tetarti, fourth day. And then Paraskevi, not fifth day, but the day of preparation. What? For the next one, Sabato, Shabbat. Not Saturday, the day of Saturn, but Shabbat, the day of rest. So imagine how the Hebrew culture influenced even these hardened Greeks, that they adopted the word preparation for their fifth day. And I have the right to say that because I am Greek, full-blooded, pure Greek. And I thank the Lord that He put me to minister to Hispanic people and others, and not to the Greeks. I would have lost my hair long before that. Hardened. But the thing is this, the beauty of it all is that it is the Lord's day. Today is the Lord's day. And every Sunday is, and I know every day is the Lord's day, but this is the day in which we remember, or should remember, commemorate what? The Lord rising from the dead. Okay? So that's a beautiful thought to always remember. And the Lord Jesus Christ resurrected on the first day of the week, or very early, as we said. Light is the first thing evident in physical creation. God did not create anything before He created light, just the heavens and the earth and nothing else. And then it says, let there be light. Okay? And also it is, the light is the first thing in the new creation. How many times aren't we told in the New Testament that our understanding or our hearts were enlightened by the Holy Spirit? So now we can understand all truth. How many of you used to read the Bible before you got saved and you couldn't understand what you were reading? I did. And I'm sure many of you probably read the Bible. Has everybody read the Bible? Because I know that many Christians don't read the Bible. To their shame. You need to read the Bible. It's the Word of God. Amen? Yeah. Don't wait until the day the Bible is not available anymore, because those days are coming too. So make sure you read it and memorize it. Nobody can take it away from you when you memorize it. But before we accept the Lord Jesus Christ, we are unable to understand what the scriptures say, and the Bible says that in 1 Corinthians 2:14, we're told that the natural man cannot understand the things of the Spirit because they are spiritually discerned. It's like speaking another language. Okay? Who wrote the Bible? God. Who inspired the Bible? God, the Holy Spirit. And whom do we receive when we get saved? The Holy Spirit. So we need the Holy Spirit of God in us to interpret and teach us what He wrote. Make sense? Right? Why am I able to tell you a few words in Greek and explain them to you? Because I know the language. And why am I able to try to explain some words in Hebrew? I don't speak Hebrew, but I study the words. I take the time to do that so I know, and then you can know. It is important. It is important. Okay? So, it says there, going on, and God saw the light that it was good. God saw the light that it was good. This is not an inspection of God on His work. God doesn't need to inspect His work. Okay? It is rather a declaration for our information. See, the Bible was written for us, not for God. Amen? So He's explaining to us that He's giving us information that what He created is good. He lets us know that everything created is, as it says in the Hebrew, tov. Remember in Israel? Boker tov, erev tov, Laila Tov, good morning, good evening, good night. Tov is good, okay? And of course, Yom is day, evening is Erev, night is Laila, and so we have day one, two halves of the first day, the evening and the morning, okay? Evening marks the end of the day, light. Night marks the end of the evening. Morning marks the end of night. In all the visible things that were created by God, light is the first, so that we may be able to see His works and His glory. See, when you go out at night, what can you see? If you're out in the field somewhere in the woods, can you see anything? You can't distinguish anything. But as long as light comes, you can see all the beauty of creation, the different colors, the different objects which were not distinguishable at night. So light reveals all those things to us, and it adds color to things, okay? In the book of Exodus, chapter 20, where God is giving Israel the Ten Commandments through Moses, He says there in verse 11, "For in 6 days," the Lord is telling Moses, "in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it." He sanctified it. Okay? So He tells us once again that He created the world in how many days? How many? Six. And on the seventh, He did what? Rested. You know, that's a good, today we do not have to observe a particular day. But I think it's a good idea for all of us to take one day of the week just to rest. Because we're not better than God, are we? And but we are so smart as a society of people. We created a new motto. It's called, "We are here 24/7. I'm going to tell you something. Is there anything we should hate? People say, "Oh, you're not to hate." Oh, yeah, God hates sin, and I hate sin, especially my sin, and I hate the devil, and I hate lies, and I hate 24/7. Because you know what that depicts? It shows us man is autosufficient. He's here in control, and we're not. Because if God rested on the seventh day, and then when the Lord Jesus came to earth, didn't He take time with the disciples, with the apostles, set aside some time to rest? And He's God. Yet He rested. He also slept, didn't He? Did He give Himself permission to rest? Yes. And He only had 3.5 years time to do what He came to do. Yet, He gave Himself permission to rest. And some people do not give themselves permission to rest. They think they're God's gift to the human race. The world did not function before they came on the scene. Let me tell you, the world functioned perfectly before you came on the scene, and it will continue functioning perfectly after you're gone. The only one that is all-sufficient, all-powerful, and absolutely necessary every second of time is the Lord. We're not. Okay? And I know that if you rest, you'll be able to function a lot better and produce, be more productive if you're rested than if you're completely run down, bogged down, and what have you. Okay? God created it like a rhythm. Evening, morning. Work, rest. Night, day. Up and down. Left and right. Come on. We have to do it that way. Take a day out of the week. I don't know which day it is. Maybe it's Sunday. For me, it cannot be Sunday, because Sunday I'm here ministering to you. And if you think that preaching is easy, try it sometime. They say, the statistics tell us, I didn't make a study on this, but the statistics tell us that 1 hour of preaching is equivalent to 7 hours of physical work. And not only preaching, but teaching too, because I used to teach. When I was principal and high school teacher in the Christian Academy, I used to be there all day long, and let me tell you, teaching is the most exhausting thing because you're constantly giving, 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 and you end up being totally depleted. And if you think you have it hard with 3 kids in the house, I have 333 Apaches from the South Bronx. Parents say, yeah, but we have them all day long. Yeah, I say, you get them after I'm through with them and they're tired already and you feed them and go to bed. But I have them at the top of their strength throughout the day. But it is important to rest one day of the week. And not only to just rest physically. Rest doesn't mean idleness. When you rest, spend time with God, reading the word and praying. Put me at the top of your list because I need prayer. 2 little old ladies came to the great evangelist D.L. Moody in Chicago one day under one of the campaigns, and they said, oh, Brother Moody, we are praying for God to fill you with the Holy Spirit. He said, well, keep on praying because I leak like nobody's. You ever look at a strainer, how many holes it has? Well, that's what we are. So we got to keep on. That's the only command we have regarding the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. Why? Because we can be empty. Okay? Because that's our nature. But keep on praying. Pray and read the word, study, read a good book, watch less TV. I'm practicing that in my own life, so I'm preaching to you what I'm doing. I'm watching much less TV. Now, the last few days, week and a half or so, I spent watching The Chosen. I don't know if you saw that. It's different. Okay? But I think it's pretty well done. The Chosen. If you don't know what that means, it means Los Escogidos in Greek. Now, of all the visible things that were created, as we said before, created by God, light is the first, so that we may be able to see His works and His glory. The first thing a person receives upon regeneration is light, making all things clear to enable him or her to understand. That's why it says in Psalm 119, verse 130, the entrance of thy words gives light. Interesting. That is written in the psalm that is the longest psalm in the Bible. And the subject of that psalm is the word of God. Every verse. The entrance of thy word giveth light. So when you enter, you have God's word, you read it, or you listen to it, you study it, God gives you light. And God will not increase that light until you are able to handle what He already gave you. Amen? That's called spiritual maturity. That's why some people claim to be, oh, maybe they are believers. I'm not going to question that. I'm not God. Okay? They're believers and can come to church for the last 25, 30, 50 years, and they don't grow. Why? Because they never take time to read the Word of God. Or, I should say, apply it in their lives. Because the Bible not only needs to be read and studied, it needs to be applied. You need to live it out. Otherwise, you're deceiving yourselves, James tells us. Right? So, the physical universe was thus created and energized, and it was ready to be equipped with everything necessary for man's habitation, who would have dominion over all things. In the book of Psalms, once again, before we close, we find these words. The heaven, even the heavens, are the Lord's, but the earth he has given to the children of men. Psalm 115, verse 16. And in the book of Isaiah, God says, who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand? Now picture this. How many of you went to a lake or a river, or even in the faucet in your house, and you pick up water in the hollow of your hand? How much water can you pick up in the hollow of your hand? Just a little bit, right? Well, here the Bible tells me that he has measured the waters of all the oceans in the hollow of his hand. Isaiah 40, verse 12. Can you picture how huge the Pacific Ocean is? It's so big, it makes the Caribbean Sea look like a bathtub. And yet, the Pacific and the Atlantic and the Indian Ocean, the Arctic Oceans, the Antarctic Oceans, and all the other seas of the world, they're all fit in the hollow of his hand. Can we grasp it? If you can, let me know how, because I can't. I can't. This verse alone, not only the water, but he says also, he measured heaven with a span. What's a span? This is a span. That's a span. From here to here. So he measured the heavens like this. And how big are the heavens? There's no end. That's why I laugh when NASA says, we are exploring space. Really? Really? You know what it is when they shoot a rocket and goes, let's say, even to Jupiter, which I don't think they have done. I mean, one, they have one thing that went to Saturn, but they don't have a man in it. They just have cameras. That's like saying, you get out of here, and you go outside, and you go around the block, and you say you've explored the world. God has given us earth, not heaven. I mean, he has given us heaven in the future when we die and go there, or when he comes back and we go there. But man is trying to conquer things that were not given to him. Yeah, I understand. The Lord gives them intelligence to do things, and, you know, it glorifies God that they have intelligence. But, you know, intelligence without the spiritual knowledge is no intelligence at all. Okay? And he says, and calculated the dust of the earth in a measure, weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance. Who has done that? Only one. And also in the same chapter of Isaiah, and in verse 22, it is he who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them out like a tent to dwell in. That's our great God. Dare we question that? We can ask questions, but we must never question God in the sense of doubting what he says. Because his word is true. And can God lie? Oh, you see, there is something God cannot do. Amen. Remember algebra? Minus times minus is what? Plus. The fact that he cannot lie, it's not a weakness, it's a strength. Because the one who can lie is the one who's weak. God always speaks the truth. He doesn't have to lie, and he cannot lie. His nature is holy. And that's the great God who created the heavens and the earth, and who said, let there be light, and there was light. Not only in the universe, but in the heart of every individual that accepts his sin, confesses it, and accepts the Lord Jesus Christ as his or her Lord and Savior. Amen? Remember, Jesus is the light of the world. Father, we thank you so much for your precious word. We thank you that you are light.
We thank you for listening to this message and pray that the word of God spoke to your heart. To listen to previous sermons, please visit us at www.cbttbc.com or anchor.fm/cbt-sermons.